And so what I want to share to you today, with you today, is this is about my journey. Okay, it's about me and where I kind of come from, where I'm going. It's kind of shaking my head. It's shaking my brains, and it's like, oh, this feels good because I know it's God. Now, if you're feeling like I'm pointing the finger at you, I'm not. And if you're thinking that I read your mail, I didn't. Okay? But what I think the commonality is that we're all humans. And we all fall into this human nature. Right? And God's wanting us to have a God nature. So he's kind of, I mean, like, as we were singing today about this freedom, we've been asking God, we want heaven to come down. We want earth as it is in heaven. We want that. There's freedom up there that we can't even imagine. And I've been asking the Lord, I've been praying and saying, what is heaven like? I am so fascinated with that topic. My dad's been there for years, and I just want to know what's going on. And I don't believe it's a bunch of people playing harps. And everybody looking the same. And everybody having to get in through a little keyhole. Now, the keyhole I know is Jesus Christ. There is a way, there is only one way to get into heaven. It's through believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving his free gift. But it's not about me becoming like everybody else and looking like them and playing harp. Now, that might work for somebody like Debbie who loves to play the auto harp, but woohoo! Yeah, but even that is different from a harp. An auto harp's different. And God made the flowers so different, one from another, and I don't believe God has a favorite flower, do you? Everyone is special to him. And it's the same way with you and I. So, the thing, though, that we're liking is that we've all come from the human condition, and he's changing us because we've given him permission. So he's kind of shaking our brains. He's shaking that which can be shaken. So anyway, if any of this sounds like I'm meddling, I'm not. And in fact, he's setting me free. So I can say to you today, this is something that I couldn't have said last time I was up here because I didn't believe it. But now I'm believing it. If you want to fall asleep right now, go ahead. It's your choice. I can't make you stay awake. She thinks it's funny. But it's really true. When you're standing up here and you're speaking, you know, you can see whether people are receiving or you can see whether they're... And that used to bother me. When people would fall asleep, it's like, can't they get it? Can't they see how important this is? But you know what? I'm accountable and I'm responsible to what's important that God is saying to me. But you're responsible for whatever God's saying to you. And that's one of the things he's been showing me about how, in the past, I was controlling and I didn't even realize it. So, anyway, this is about me and it's my journey, okay? So, but as I'm saying, if the shoe does fit, you can wear it. Or not. I don't care if you wear shoes. Okay, and that was something funny that's been kind of being talked about a lot. But it's like, okay, we're each responsible. Now, there is a level of responsibility that we want to honor one another. And we want to allow God to work in one another. And we want to give freedom to one another. And that sometimes that means we have to put ourselves under a little bit of discipline or whatever so that I don't mess up your space, you know? But in that there's still freedom. And the Lord, I really sense that the Lord is wanting to bring freedom to us. He's wanting to set us free. And we don't know how bound up we really are. We just don't know. But yet he's shown us. So it's kind of like, well, the other thing I want to say is don't snip the snipper. You've been hearing that a lot lately, the past couple weeks. If I happen to be the one that happens, there's some words that come out of my mouth today, and they kind of feel like a pruning or a snipping back, that's between you and him, okay? Don't get mad at me. And if you do, I'll choose not to hang out with you, I guess. That's my part to play, is just, yeah, just letting you be you and me be me and God being God. So all that to say, it's kind of like Abraham. He came out of Ur of the Chaldees. He came out of where he knew. And he went into some place he wasn't sure where he's going. And I'm kind of feeling like that with me. And I know it's more than just me. It's something about changing the culture in this place. It's something about bringing forth a freedom. And that freedom comes through honor, through respect. It doesn't come through me telling you what to do or how to act or what you should be like or anything else. So, and I think that's in the past, really, we all thought that was what church was like. So anyway, okay. As I said, if you want to fall asleep, that's okay too. The other thing I just want to say too as a disclaimer, that if this raises more questions than you started out with, take it to God. Or not. Okay? I'm hoping this will stir your minds to have some questions. I might not have answers. I just want to pose some things to you and let the scripture speak. Anyway, it's kind of like what he's doing in me is these new wineskins. Mark 2:22, you know that scripture. But I think that's what he's doing to all of us. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. And that's what I'm sensing he's doing to me, is making a new wineskin out of me. And I don't understand the process, and I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what it's going to look like. But I'm just trying to yield to the process. Well, anyway, reading that book, that Danny Silk book, that you're going to be watching, those of you who come, on a DVD. In the book, he was talking about a scripture that hit me. It was Jeremiah 31, verse 33. And I had been looking over this. This is where Jeremiah is presenting or bringing forth from the Lord the new covenant. It's a new covenant. It's not the old covenant. It's the new covenant. He's introducing what this new covenant is going to look like. And this is the one that hit me in the face, and I went, wow, that explains it. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, the verse before that, I'm going to go back to that for just a moment. This is the old covenant. Look at the difference. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand. The old covenant was outward. God took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. Those two scriptures have set my head free. And I don't understand the full impact of it, but I'm learning. Go back to that first scripture, the new covenant. It's inside. God puts the laws within my heart and within my mind. It's inward. That new covenant empowers me. It enables me, like his grace is enabling in a good way. It gives me the power to be able to obey him and to honor him. It puts an exchange. It shows me how to exchange my weakness for his strength. Remember, it's all on the inside. It's all about love. It's all about relationship. My relationship with him. And him, as I'm beholding him, he's changing me, which is amazing. That's something that happens from the inside out. It's freedom. It's powerful. It's a willingness to surrender. That's what it takes. It takes my willingness to surrender. He's not trying to control me. And you know, last week when I was up there worshiping and I was praying out loud, I said something about God, would you control us or something like that? And the Lord said, I don't want to. He doesn't want to control me. He wants to live through me, allow me to surrender everything to him. But he doesn't want to control me. This inward guiding is it looks like heaven because it gives me freedom of choice. And that's a real key. It's bringing heaven on earth because of choice and because I want him. I want to be like him. I want to see what he's thinking. I want to hear what he's saying, and I want to be like him. And in the past, you know, I can relate to this because I brought it down to my own kids. You know, when we were raising them all those years ago, I really raised them like the old covenant. I wanted them, I taught them obedience. I taught them obey mommy, obey daddy, obey, be a clone. That's what my goal is for you to be me. Now, of course, I wanted them to be free, to be whatever, but at the same time, I wanted them to obey. And if I gave them the look, it was the look of love, of course, but they knew what that meant. And it meant shape up, kids, or walk into this, you know? But there's a difference here. I was training them like the old covenant, but yet I'm supposed to be a new covenant person. I wanted my kids to be obedient more than any other thing. And I got obedient kids. I got wonderful kids. They're tremendous. They work well out in the community. They have somewhat of an, I don't even know if it's an outward heart after God, but it's definitely not clicked in the inward yet. But I think if I had trained them with the new covenant, by giving them more choices when they were little. Danny Silk talks about this incident. He gives some really good examples, and I found myself going, wow. Where when the kids are little, their choices are little. But how many times did I try to protect them from falling and protect them from getting hurt? And don't do this, don't do that. watch it, you know. But if I had let them fall, they would have learned something, and it would have been inward. They would have made wiser choices the next time. Well, Danny Silk gave this example about when they were learning this process. His daughter, Brittany, came home from school and she goes, Mom, I left my backpack at school. Mom, you've got to rescue me. You've got to go get the backpack. And some of us would have said, well, you know, it'll be okay until tomorrow. You just not do your homework or maybe you'll get in trouble. I probably would have gone maybe to get the backpack to do everything I could to help because I wanted them to know that I just love them so much and everything else. Well, Danny Silk even went so far as to say his daughter Brittany said to the wife, my hamster's in there, in the backpack. And the wife, wisely and learning about this stuff, new covenant way of dealing, the thought went through her head, sorry, hamster. But that's a small price to pay for a learning experience for Brittany to learn for the next time. To know that mom could empower her. Mom had enough faith in her that she would make a wise choice next time. And also mistakes aren't the end of the world. So you goof, so you forget something. Next time you probably won't, because you learn from these mistakes. And that's how the Lord does with us. Did you ever stop and think? Garden of Eden. Go back. Everybody back to the Garden of Eden, okay? Back there. Did God put one tree in the garden for us to choose correctly from, or did he put two? And where was that second tree? Was it somewhere on top of the Himalayas or something so that it would be a little bit harder for us to choose that one? No, it was right in the center of the garden, right next to the tree of life. That tree of death was right there. Did it panic God when Adam and Eve chose the wrong tree? Didn't seem to, because it said that before the foundation of the world, he was already slain. He already paid the price for us. He knew what he was going to do. He gave us that choice through Adam and Eve because he knew that his grace was enough. That maybe, I was trying to think of, why did he do that? Maybe he just wanted to let me value the better choice. I don't know. I leave that up to you. You go to him and ask him. That would be a really cool thing to find out from him. What was it, because he wanted to show us how much he really, really loved us? That was probably, yeah, we fell. Yeah, we lived a life, for those 5,000 years or whatever it was in the old covenant. And how many of us would want to stay in that? How many of you like the new covenant better? Are you like me? New covenant is better. Hebrews 1, it is a better covenant. But for some reason, he allowed that old covenant. And I'm not sure why. I'm not up here to tell you why. I have no answers like that. But I'm just looking at this and saying, God, you gave Adam and Eve tough choices. Wow, life or death. And they chose death. But still, it didn't panic you because you're the answer. And when we choose to raise our children with the new covenant idea of letting them fall, letting them learn from their mistakes, and for us not getting so panicked when they make a mistake. And for us also, I think one of the big things is that when our kids act disrespectfully to us, that's something that really irks us. I know it irks me when somebody's really disrespectful. But you know what? I have the choice of becoming disrespectful just like them and turning it around and just saying, you shape up or ship out, which I've done in a nice, godly way. But I also have the better choice. I mean, that would be old covenant because I'm trying to make them conform to what I want. But the new covenant way would be to say to them, when you can speak as quietly as I'm speaking to you now, we can have this discussion. Would you like to wait or would you like to be respectful now? Or one of the funny ones on a Love and Logic video was when a little 2 or 3 year old was having a temper tantrum, the wise parent would say, that tantrum's not as good as your last one. And just walk away. Not make a big deal out of it. And to train the child to learn that, you know what, I like having people around me who are fun. People who are respectful. And I love having people around me just like that. Now, if you don't want to be respectful, then either you're going to move, because I can take a little toddler and I can move the toddler, but if you're too grown up and you're too old and I can't move you, I can move away. And I can go over here where it's fun, where things are going well. I'm in charge of me. And that was the big thing that I've been learning from this, is that I'm responsible for me. And the Lord's been showing me that when I stayed around the bad mood kids, bad mood people, whatever, and I got affected by the bad mood, I felt like I had to fix it because I'm responsible. I'm very responsible, right? And aren't I supposed to be the one that helps you learn and helps you grow? But what did that do? When I was over there with their bad moods or whatever, I was just training them that go ahead and have your bad mood. But when I walk away from it and I keep my composure before the Lord, I keep my eyes on Him, then they're becoming responsible whether they want to change or not. That's up to them. It's not up to me. It's not my responsibility. So anyway, okay, getting back to all this stuff. In the Old Covenant, everything is outward. Everything's external. You know, paddling and all that stuff. Now, I'm not saying I have the answers. Go to Danny Silk for that stuff. I'm not into this enough yet to understand all this stuff and how it all works. But, you know, in the world, if you're taking foster kids in, you're not allowed to spank, right? You have to come up with something else. Maybe the better way is the New Covenant. I don't know. I'm not saying throw out spanking. You all heard me say that, right? I don't know. But if there is a better way by winning their heart, I want to know how to do it. Okay, so the Old Covenant, too, has to do with behavior modification. It has to do with control. If I can control you enough and get you to obey me. See, it's control, though. I'm into control. And it also has to do with fear. If you don't behave, then I don't see God doing that to me. I see God, Jesus in the New Testament, holding out his hand to his beloved bride, and he's saying to his father, I think it was probably John 17, I didn't lose any. Those that I kept, those that were right here stayed in my hand. But there were those who chose to walk away. But that wasn't like Jesus spit them out. I mean, they chose their behavior. They chose. They made their own choices. And anyway, in Jeremiah 30, verse 5, this is right before the Lord talks about the new covenant and the old covenant. It's kind of like he asks the question, like Danny Silk also always asks that question, how's it working out for you? The Lord's asking that question before he even tells the old and the new covenant. But it says, for thus says the Lord, we've heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. That's what will come with the old covenant. That's what will come when we deal with relationships in that way. There's going to be trembling, there's going to be fear, there's not going to be peace. But as the Lord's trying to bring heaven down to earth, he wants just the opposite. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. That power is empowering. He's given us empowerment and of love and of a sound mind. And that sound mind talks about self-control. Doesn't mean self-control. We always look at it like it's a bad thing. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit that's bad. Self-control. You're supposed to have self-control. You're supposed to keep yourself from doing that bad stuff. But self-control also gives you the choice to do the good stuff. And that's the part that we don't often focus on. We focus on the bad stuff. And let me tell you why we focus on the bad stuff. Probably most of us have been raised in that old covenant style. And you know what that breeds? That breeds performance. That breeds conditional love. That breeds killing. No, I won't say killing hamsters because that's the other one. it's always associated with punishment. You got punished when you were bad. I was raised, my mom, from the background that she had, she always taught me that God punishes. You better obey or God will punish you. That was one of the first things the Lord showed me when I really came into the fullness of the Spirit was that God loves me. He'll correct me and it's good. It's always for my good. And he's a loving dad. But it's not about, he's not wanting to be the policeman in the sky coming down ready to punish me if I'm doing anything wrong. But you know what? When we're raised in that external stuff, We tend to gravitate toward people that will punish us, people that will yell at us, people that will make us conform. We don't even know we're doing it, but we kind of seek after that stuff. We seek after an outward restraint because we haven't learned that we're responsible. And we have the power within ourselves to be responsible and to act rightly. But we're always going to others to look for, would you spank me? Would you put restraints on me? And we tend to want to do that to others. When God's setting somebody free, sometimes that's sort of like a divine chaos. But to me, you know, God's been dealing with that sort of thing and saying, hey, I might be setting this person free, and you're thinking it's a chaotic situation. Let it be. Let me be. Let me have my way in people. You just be responsible for yourself. But that old covenant way will keep me from feeling like mistakes are okay. It will make me feel like I have to perform and become perfect. Now, it's a different way of... God wants us perfect. He wants us holy. But I don't think we're thinking the same way he is on this word perfect. It's kind of like when he says holy, we think... You have this definition that just pops up in your brain that says, I can't attain to that. Oops, it'll keep me separated from God. Oh, well, forget it. I won't even try. But when you stop and you think that word holy, another definition really means other. He is so different from my way of thinking. But yet he wants me to be like him. He wants me to let him in and change my mind, you know, become like him. And it's the same way with a holy, I think. We just have this mindset that are perfect. We have this mindset that perfect means no mistakes. Everything's done religiously. And that's what it is. It's religion because we're trying to conform ourselves into being just like some image that we think is right. And we really don't know what God's thinking. Because God looks on the inward. God looks on the heart. And so, you know, I'm just placing myself before the Lord and saying, hey, help me here, because I want to have your thoughts. I want to go where you're going. But you know what? That external covenant also leads us to despising authority. We're thinking all authority is bad. We're afraid of correction. Because we think somebody's going to smash us. But correction is really wonderful. Correction is good. It's just a course correction. God's saying, that way's better. That way's better. And he's wanting to show us. But because we have that external covenant in our mind, because we've grown up with it, we're kind of like, don't you tell me what to do. That's one of the ways we kind of go there. But you know what? Also, if we're not free, and if we have been raised in the old covenant and we have not allowed the Lord to set us free, we will also have addictions. We will also go elsewhere for his unconditional approval because we're afraid to go to him because we're thinking he's going to punish us or he's going to do this. And we'll go to other people. We have this, we can never get an area within us satisfied for attention because we only got attention by performing well in our past. And that external thing, but when we've been allowed to make choices, then we're empowered to realize just how powerful we really are in a good way. And then that frees me. I don't have to go to you, and I'm saying this in a good way, I don't have to go to you to get my needs met for attention. I don't have to always be so concerned about what will you think about, oh my gosh, what are they going to think if I do this? What am I... But I will go to God and say, you know, there's an area here where I'm feeling really needy, Father. Would you fill that in me? And he does. And then I'm free from putting my draining, sucking pipe on you to suck all the life out of you to get my needs met. It also frees me from going to addictions, drinking, pornography, this, that, and the other thing. There's all sorts of things that we substitute. And a lot of that's because we've learned an external form of control from our past instead of being allowed those individual choices that we've learned from, good stuff and bad stuff, but we've been empowered. Now, let me go back and show you how the Lord does this. How does he... Okay. There's a scripture in Psalms 32, verse 8, that's really, really important. This is how the Lord teaches us and trains us. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. How? I will guide you with my eye. How's he do that? How's he do that? Honey, come here a second. I need you. Now, in his eyes is who he is, right? Everything that, well, the scripture, just stand there a second here. I probably had you up for a moment too quickly. It says, Matthew 6:22 says, the light of the body is the eye. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's Genesis 6:8. But in the eyes, it's the seat of your emotions. It's who you are. Now, when that scripture says that God will guide me with his eye, if I'm standing behind my husband, how much of his eyes can I see into? Not very much. See, what I'm doing is I'm standing on principle. I'm kind of going by what I've learned. I'm being very religious, and I'm going by those kind of things. But God wants him to guide me with his eye. And the only way I can do that is if I'm looking into his eyes. And then I'm finding out his heart. And I'm gazing on his beauty. I'm talking about the Lord here. Okay, thanks. That was good. Yeah, you can give him applause. He did really well. He didn't know I was going to do that. But I want you to have that realization of what it means, how God guides you with his eyes. We have to be looking at him. We have to be gazing into his eyes. Now, how do we do that? We do that through prayer, telling him how wonderful he is, rehearsing his beauty, rehearsing his attributes, reminding ourselves just how good he is. We do it in worship. We do it in soaking, just resting and letting songs or psalms, whatever words in the word, just soak over us. And that's how he guides us with his eye, because we learn of him and we know what he's like. What happens when we don't look into his eyes for a while? We end up going by principle. We end up going by what we thought we knew in the past. And we're not getting that fresh revelation, that fresh word, that fresh bread. We're not getting that. We're getting what we thought we knew in the past. And pretty soon we become pretty old and crusty and all that stuff. I mean, we're not tender. We're not seeing the movement that he just made. And we think we're supposed to go this way and he's over here. But I would have known that if I was gazing into his eyes, that he was moving over here and I was going with him. So it's really, to me, it's really important not to neglect my time with him, because the rest of the people in the world are going to suffer because I'm going to become pretty ugly. And I'm going to miss out because I'm not going to be choosing his choices. I'm not going to be alive with him flowing through me. In Strong's Concordance, the word used there for that, where he guides me with his eye, it's the definition is a governor, something that governs. It's something that superintends or rules. And it's like, to me, the picture of a rudder in a boat. You know, I don't know a whole bunch about this stuff, but when you're in a boat, I know you can play with a rudder in the harbor all you want, but it's not going to go anywhere. But when you get out and it's moving forward, if you play with a rudder, it will be steered. And that's kind of like what his eye is. When I'm looking into his eye, he can steer me where he thinks I should go. And it gives me that freedom to be who I am and not feel like, if I'm not looking into his eye, if I'm not following his gaze, then I'm left on my own thinking, pretty stinking thinking, actually, because it's my own. And I'm trying to play God. I'm trying to figure out what I should do next. I'm just relying on my own strength, and that's no good. You know, it's really important to that gaze. That's how we're led inwardly. That's how he guides us. And we also know that we know where his love is. We know what he's like as we're looking at him. But if perchance I'm gazing at him and still I goof, still I mess up, what tells me I've messed up? Well, I can feel it within. My conscience, my heart feels like, oh, I just grieved the Holy Spirit. Oh, I quenched the Holy Spirit. Or, oh, I vexed the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not something I want to do all the time. I personally do not want to do that. I want to please the Holy Spirit. But if I do, if I find myself having done one of those things, ooh, my heart's tender and I go, oh, Lord. And I get some time with him alone. And I say, God, would you root this out? There's rebellion or there's something in me that I didn't mean to go in that direction. I missed you, God, and I don't ever want to miss you. And I want deep repentance. So would you show me how I can deeply repent to you for what this was? Where did I go astray, Lord? How could I better hang out with you in a better way? You know, and it's that freeing and that cleansing from wherever I was kind of messing up. But we know that we have an advocate. You know, we know that our God is for us. And if we make mistakes, it's like with our children. When we're leading them with this internal covenant and we're raising them to make their own choices, what do we do when they take the wrong choice? We kill them. No, no, we don't. No, no. Do we show our anger? Mm-mm. Because it didn't affect me. I'm okay. You made your choice. How's it working out for you? I'm learning that. That's what Danny Silk says. How's it working out for you? And you know, you give the empathy or whatever, you know, oh, gee, that's sad. But it's still the child's choice, the teenager's choice to take the responsibility and work it out. And where I'm finding this whole thing is I have learned how to be a rescuer. As a pastor in the church, I have felt that I'm responsible for people's growth. Now, yes, we are to seek the Lord and lay out a really lavish table as much as we can of food so that you can partake, but I can't make you eat. And in the past, when people have not eaten or if they've chosen to eat at a different restaurant, I've gotten upset with that because I felt responsible for it. I'm responsible for them. And the Lord's saying, oh, how's it working out for you? It didn't. It didn't. And he was showing me that I was becoming, in my own brain, their savior. Because I wanted to help them grow or control their growth. I was becoming the savior. And the Lord said, get out of the way. Only I can do that. And when we're always there to catch people when they fall, and we're always there to keep them from falling, we become their savior. That's not good. That's not good. We don't do that well. I don't do it well. Only he can. He's your savior. I can't fix your problem. I know one of the things Danny Silk says in his series is, what is it that you need would be a better question I'm learning to ask. Not what can I do for you? Because when I say that, then I'm taking your problem. I don't want it any longer. You know what I'm saying? You're empowered with the Holy Ghost. You've got everything you need to grow. And the Lord was showing me, we've done the boundaries book in this church a lot, and people are really interested in that. That's awesome. There's really good stuff to be learned from boundaries. And the Lord was showing me that even he has boundaries. Now, we all know that there's a boundary that you can't get into his heart unless you've asked him to be your Lord and your Savior. But where is it? It is... Look at Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. This is God's boundaries. Who can ascend to his holy hill? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. There it is. Who has not lifted up his soul into vanity and nor sworn deceitfully. You know what that means? God's saying, hey, I am so approachable. I am here whenever you want to just come and get hugs and you want to get your needs met and you want to be fulfilled and you want to get healed and delivered and set free. I am here. And you can come as close to me as you want. Now, what does that mean for my responsibility? That's what God has said. He's here. My responsibility is to choose how close do I want to get to him. Now, it's not going to take control by him to pull me up, even though there are times I've asked him, oh, God, don't let me go the other way. So he knows my heart, that I'm really open for that, to just turn me. But it's my choice to totally surrender. See, my surrender is my choice. I can surrender just as much as I want to the Lord. Or I can hold back just as much as I want. But it's my choice. So see, that's the Lord's boundaries. And so as we're learning this new covenant thing, you know, we've all embraced the new covenant, but boy, bringing it into our midst and learning from it and providing a place where heaven is on earth and where the Lord loves to come. Because, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And he loves freedom. He loves liberty. He doesn't like it when I control. He doesn't like it when I think I can fix your problem. He doesn't like it when I become your savior, taking your responsibility. He also doesn't like it when I want to take your responsibility to keep you from getting hurt or falling or whatever. I'm responsible for me. You're responsible for you. And we're all empowered with this incredible freedom and the ability to control ourselves. And that's going to bring heaven on earth, because I'm going to honor. See, it's going to take honor for me to respect whatever God is doing in you, even if I can't figure it out. When we're worshiping and you're somewhere else just hitting the floor, crying your eyes out, and I'm over there laughing, rejoicing, and then somebody's over there running all over the place, back and forth, back and forth. It's like, okay, God must be doing something. I'm taking my hands off. I'm taking my control to try and make everything fit in my little. We're letting God out of the box. Remember that conference a couple of years ago? He was saying he wants to get out of this box. We were making a box. And the way we're going to do that and have a presence, we have a place for his presence, is by honoring one another, even if we can't figure it out. And it's a good thing, because he's doing this with this new covenant. He's leading us and guiding us, because his grace, he's got so much confidence in his grace, much more than I'm going to grow into that. I really am going to grow into the confidence in his grace that, you know, he's good. He's for me. He's for you. He's building his church, and the gates of hell are not going to come against it. They're not going to be able to stop it. I just want to close with this. This is the one thing. Psalm 84, verse 10. He's showing me personally. This is me. And probably my husband, we laugh about the scripture. We have a whole new look at it. And we go, wow, that's not what I thought it used to mean, but now I'm learning what it means. Second part of it, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. And what that means is the door swings open, the door swings closed, and I'm there greeting people as they come in, greeting them as they leave. Now, that doesn't mean you're all to leave, okay? But I'm seeing some past mistakes that I made where I would run. You can't leave, you can't leave, you can't. I was controlling. Woo. But this scripture is really helping me right now in your lives. I can't get in the midst of your lives and figure out your problems. And tell, you know, even when I try to tell you what your problem is, because I can see it so clearly, it does no good. Because by my bringing forth that control, you don't want any part of it. And rightly so. But if I just say, what is it you need? Not what I can, what can I do for you? No. You don't need me to do anything for you. What is it that you need? And then it puts the problem, it puts the responsibility upon you to figure out what's going on. And you can choose to go back to God and find out, or not. But It's a matter of me learning how to let go of the control. And I'm sharing all this stuff, and I'm being really vulnerable to you guys. And I'm hoping you're not going to use it against me, but if you do, just go to God. But hopefully, as I'm more vulnerable and sharing what I've been going through, I want to give you the liberty and the freedom to be who God meant you to be. You know, and that can be so different, that's fine. And it's like the flowers. There's not one favorite of God. I can't believe he has one favorite. Maybe the Rose of Sharon. But he made everything beautiful. And as we cultivate that place of honor for the Lord, and cultivate a place here where we allow each other freedom and honor and just... we rejoice with one another and in one another. We live for one another. How can I serve you? How can I honor you better? That's what we want to bring forth. And hopefully as we do that, that's going to make other people feel welcome. I'm hoping. Other people will want that freedom. It might be a little scary at first, because a lot of people, like most of us, have been raised with that external. And it might be a little different, but you know what? Once we search this out and we say, Lord, I want to know more about your new covenant. Would you show me where I'm leaning back into the old covenant? And as we become free, free people set people free. Only free men can free men. If we're all bound up in that old stuff, we can't set anybody else free.